The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him, and he healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. The word of the Lord from Revelation, the 12th chapter. John writes this: "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He, the devil, is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short."
Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity, that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Anyone being tempted today? Goes on in Hebrews 4. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we have salvation through Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. This is Paul speaking, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. His grace worked within me. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me, that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? Do you believe in a resurrection of the dead? I'm thankful. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Useless. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. He did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That's good, yeah? But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. When he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all and in all. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. You don't hear that everywhere, do you? Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Think of a kernel of wheat. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another, and fish have another. There are also heavenly bodies, there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. Each thing is individualistic, isn't it? Each thing is a beautiful creation. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, that which fades away, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, anyone know who the last Adam is? Jesus. A life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are from of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, like Adam, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. The best is yet to come. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We talked about mystical things in Bible class this morning. Listen, today I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The word of the Lord this day. What do you get from that passage? Anything? Or just, pastor was talking for a long, long time. Stand strong. Stand strong in Him, in the victory over death that comes through Jesus Christ. I wanted today to kind of resemble in some ways, and it does today because we have a lot of guests, and I'm pleased that we do have guests. It's kind of like Easter 2 today. We need some fancy flowers up there. But today is like Easter 2. We're speaking of the resurrection from the dead. And that's all right, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Amen. I like that you guys are just a little bit Baptist. What a beautiful thing. If there's no resurrection, then what? There's only death. When you die, it's over. That's it. No more. But there's more to the story, isn't there? There's victory over death. Death is defeated through Jesus at the cross. Does that comfort you? Yes. Why? Why?
We're close.
Oh my. I guess we do never know when the Lord will take us. Some of us may be closer than others. That's a beautiful thing that folks who have a little bit of gray on the temple have going for them as they mature in their faith. They realize a lot of times that the Lord is walking with them. And this resurrection to life everlasting is a comfort. It means that there's no end. It means that we get to be with Jesus forever. And that's okay. In fact, it's better than okay. It's better than here. It's better by far to be in the courts of the Lord than thousands of days elsewhere. How beautiful, how wonderful to be in the courts of Jesus. My hope for you today is that you would have a little bit of comfort in the resurrection. That when you know, if you're closer than others, or if you know of someone who has crossed over into death, that when you know that they are in faith, you're comforted. And for yourself, because only you can believe for yourself, when you walk forward knowing that the resurrection of the dead is true, that there's comfort, that you know it's okay. It's better than okay, because with Jesus, in His resurrection, I too am raised from death to life. Death doesn't have any kind of a victory. There is victory in Jesus. There's victory in the Savior who died for us, who's raised to life for us. What a powerful story. It's mystical. It's something that's beyond our understanding. It's a mystery. And yet it's because of Jesus' rich love for each and every one of us. That he would die for us. Anybody could die for us, right? But he doesn't stay dead. He defeats death. He defeats the devil's power. Sin loses its power. And so we can go forth standing firm in this Jesus and his resurrection to life everlasting. So therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your belief is not in vain. Your faith is full because there is life with Him forever. Seems like if only we had a little phrase. Oh, Jesus Christ is risen today. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Dear Lord, thank you for this blessing of this wonderful day. Thank you for the blessing of your resurrection to life, life everlasting, that each and every one of us gets to live in your presence. Death has no more power over us. Death has no more sting. There's victory through you. And so with your resurrection, we are raised as well. May that give us great comfort, and may we then stand firm, knowing that our labor is not in vain, that we have a powerful message that the world needs to hear, that there is more than this place and this earth. There is everything through you. Blessing upon blessing through you. And may that message of hope work powerfully in each and every one of our lives, that we then would share you with a world that needs you. In your name we pray, blessed Savior Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.